book of Revelations for yourself.
Tribulation.
Welcome to Streams in the Desert Live, an interactive prophetic talk show with pastor, evangelist, and prophetic teacher, Dana Bohansky, senior pastor of Streams in the Desert Ministries and House Church, where we look at the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy and give you, the listener, an opportunity to call in to ask questions and share information regarding the signs of the times. This ministry is dedicated to the preaching and teaching of the unadulterated word of the one and only true and living God under the power and anointing of God's Holy Ghost. Streams in the Desert Live is an expansion of Streams in the Desert Ministries. Now, here's your host, Pastor Dana.
I believe that we are living in the days John wrote about. The end times are upon us. Read the book of Revelations for yourself.
Tribulation.
I don't want to be here.
Shalom and blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is Pastor Dana, and I once again would like to thank you for joining me today, February 10th, 2021, for the Streams in the Desert Live Internet Radio broadcast, coming to you from the beautiful Streams in the Desert Live home studio via StarWorldWideNetworks.com, where we look at the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy. Today's topic title is Thought Crimes, Home of the Dystopian Nightmare. But before we get started, let us pray. Father God, we humbly come before your throne and bow down spiritually speaking. We ask, Lord God, that the power, working, and anointing of your Holy Spirit permeate this place that I am at and go out through the airwaves around the world to do in the hearts of your people what you have prepared and ordained for this very hour here at 11:59 and split seconds, just before the imminent return of your one and only begotten Son, who is none other than the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, have your way in this day. We command in the name of Jesus Christ that every foul spirit, every hindering spirit, every spirit of lust, control, and pride, and wickedness, and demonic activity, and antichrist, and lying and deceiving spirits, spirits of homosexuality, witchcraft, Satanism, and every other foul and evil and hindering spirit be bound this very hour, along with chaos and confusion. And we plead the blood of Jesus against you at this moment, and call it down in the precious and holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray, amen and amen. Well, folks, greetings to you all once again from wherever you are in the world as you join me, your host, Pastor Dana, today for another compelling episode of Streams in the Desert Live Internet Radio broadcast. As we begin the show for today, I would like to once again open by reminding you all of the mandate for the year 2021 as set forth by the Lord God, which is that the year 2021 is the year of the unknown, part two. My friends, people across America and around the world are already seeing in this new year things ramping up such as never before. The thoughts on most people's minds concern things like the end of the world as we know it, the soon coming rapture of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the open rule and reign of Satan's antichrist beast, false prophet, and the implementation of the worldwide mark of the beast system. With all of that said, and those thoughts in mind, my friends, our first piece of the day comes to us by none other than Mr. Michael Snyder, writer and editor of themostimportantnews.com. This piece was published on February 7th, 2021, and is titled, Big Brother is Spying on You in Thousands of Ways. And all of that information now goes into centralized fusion systems. Of which Mr. Snyder begins by stating, Big Brother is watching you. Sadly, most people don't realize how extensive the surveillance grid has now become. As you drive to work or to school, license plate readers are systematically tracking wherever you travel. In major cities, thousands of highly advanced security cameras, many equipped with facial recognition technology, are monitoring your every move, my friends. And if authorities detect that you are doing something suspicious, they can quickly pull your criminal, financial, and medical records up. Of course, if they want to dig deeper, your phone and your computer are constantly producing a treasure trove of surveillance data. Nothing that you do on either one of them is ever private. In the past, compiling all of that information would take a great deal of time. But now tech giants such as Microsoft, Motorola, Cisco, Palantir are selling fusion systems to governments all over the planet. These fusion systems can instantly integrate surveillance data from thousands of different sources, and this has totally transformed how law enforcement is conducted in many of our large cities. Arthur Holland Michel is a senior fellow at the Carnegie Council for Ethics in International Affairs, and he was given a tour of a fusion system that is used by the city of Chicago called Citrograph. He clicked investigate, and Citrograph got to work on the report. On the reported assault. The software runs on what Gentechs call a correlation engine, a suite of algorithms that trawl throughout a city's historical police records and live sensor feeds, looking for patterns and connections. Seconds later, a long list of possible leads appeared on screen, including a lineup of individuals previously arrested in the neighborhood for violent crimes, the home addresses of parolees living nearby, a catalog of similar recent 911 calls, photographs, and license plate numbers of vehicles that had been detected speeding away from the scene, and video feeds from any cameras that might have picked up evidence of the crime itself, including those, get this, mounted on passing buses and trains. More than enough information, in other words, for an officer to respond to the original 911 call with a nearly telepathic sense of what had just unfolded. But these systems are not just used to track down criminals, says Mr. Snyder. In fact, he says, they can be used to investigate literally anyone. On another occasion, Arthur Holland Michel got the opportunity to test out the fusion system that Microsoft had built for New York City. The NYPD official showed me, he says, how he could pull up any city resident's rap sheet, list of their known associates, cases in which they were named as a victim of a crime or as a witness, and if they had a car, a heat map of where they tended to drive, and a full history of their parking violations. Then he handed me the phone. Go ahead, he said, search a name. A flurry of people came to mind, friends, lovers, enemies. In the end, I chose, he said, a victim of a shooting I'd witnessed in Brooklyn a couple of years earlier. He popped right up along with what felt like more personal information than I or even perhaps the curious officer had any right to know without a court order. Feeling a little dizzy, I gave the phone back. Mr. Snyder says, if this is what is going on in major cities such as Chicago and New York, Can you imagine the technology that the alphabet agencies of the federal government must now possess? Of course, he says, this isn't just happening in the United States. On the other side of the Atlantic, a joint European surveillance project known as ROXANE is causing a great deal of concern. An acronym for real-time network text and speaker analysis for combating organized crime. It was announced in November, the Republic's involvement in the project currently being developed in Switzerland. A biometric-based platform ostensibly to monitor and crack down on organized crime. An additional application of ROXANE, which its creators advertise freely, is the ability to monitor those guilty of alleged, get this, my friends, hate speech and political extremism. Strict new laws against hate speech and political extremism are being instituted all over Europe, and this new tool will help to track down thought crimes. In particular, this new tool will be heavily monitored. Social media will heavily monitor, be monitoring social media sites such as Facebook, YouTube, as well as normal telecommunication platforms. A product of the EU-funded Horizon 2020 to foster new surveillance technology. ROXANE works across social media sites such as Facebook, YouTube, as well as normal telecommunication platforms to identify, categorize, and track faces and voices, enabling authorities to paint a more in-depth picture of the network being investigated, whether it be in relation to criminal activity or those deemed politically extreme, enabling authorities to draw on raw data from a variety of sources and platforms in order to recognize common speech patterns, facial features, and geolocation. And they say that the end result is both to identify suspects and paint an intricate picture of the networks being put under the microscope. Mr. Snyder says, so if you live in Europe and you think that you might be guilty of thought crime, at some point, you might want to get rid of your phone and your computer. Seriously, he says, things really have gotten that bad over there. And it is just a matter of time before the madness gets to the same level in the United States, because we are going down the same exact road. Here in the U.S., more political voices are being deplatformed with each passing day. Progressive reporter Jordan Chardadun, originally cheered when conservatives were being deplatformed, but at this point he regrets his call for censorship now that YouTube has taken down one of his videos. However, after YouTube pulled a video from his one channel featuring footage of the January 6th riot for violating the platform's policies against spam and deceptive practices, Chardadun reversed his position. Quote, with time to reflect and seeing Silicon Valley's censorship onslaught, I regret this tweet made in the heat of the moment, the progressive journalist wrote. Whether certain cable or YouTube outlets mislead audiences with dishonest claims lacking real evidence, they shouldn't be targeted. Mr. Snyder says it is all fun and games when it happens to the other side, but when it happens to you, suddenly it becomes real. They really do want to control all of what we do, say, and think. And the Big Brother surveillance grid is becoming more suffocating with each passing year. If we do not put limits on this technology while we still can, and I don't know what makes him think we still have time to do that, but I'm glad he has the thought, it is just a matter of time before our society becomes a dystopian nightmare, far more horrible than anything that George Orwell ever dared to imagine. And, my friends, on that simply thought-provoking note, I will be right back after the break so that we may continue our investigation of thought crimes, home of the dystopian nightmare.
Everything turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant, a time to reap. A time to kill, a time to heal. A time to laugh, a time to weep. To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to build up, a time to break down. A time to dance, a time to mourn. A time to cast away stones. A time to gather stones together. To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And a time to every purpose under heaven. A time of love, a time of hate. A time of war, a time of peace. A time you may embrace. A time to refrain from embracing. Everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to gain, a time to lose. A time to rend, a time to sow. A time for love, a time for hate. A time for peace, I swear it's not too late.
Okay, my friends, those are some good words to know and live by, for they are directly out of the Word of God in Ecclesiastes. I love that song. It is so fantastic that they were able to make that Once in the World that we once knew. Okay, now, my friends, here in the second half of our show, we are going to continue to take a look at just how, as Mr. Michael Snyder's piece from 2014, titled Examples of How Big Brother is Steadily Creeping Into Our Daily Life, compares to where we are now here in the year 2021. Mr. Snyder begins this piece by stating, virtually everything that you do is being watched. Do you drive a car? Do you watch television? Do you use a cell phone? As you do any of these things, information about you is being recorded and tracked. We live at a time, he says, when personal privacy is dying. And it is not just governments that are doing this. In fact, he says, sometimes private companies are the biggest offenders. He says, it turns out that gathering information about all of us is very, very profitable. And both government entities and private companies are going to continue to push the envelope when it comes to high-tech surveillance until people start objecting to what they are trying to do. Well, I'm sorry to say that we know that's not going to happen here in 2021 when they can't even object to the muzzle, if you know what I mean. He goes on to say, if we continue down the path we are currently on, he says, it is inevitable that we will end up, listen up, my folks, living in an extremely restrictive Big Brother police state where basically everything that we do is very closely watched. Sound familiar, my friends? Is monitored, tracked, and controlled. And such a day may be much closer than you think. The following are 10 examples of how Big Brother is steadily creeping into our daily lives. Number one, our cars are rapidly being transformed into high-tech Big Brother surveillance devices. In fact, he says, a push is being made to require all new vehicles to include very sophisticated black box recorders. As if the government wasn't already able to track our movements on the nation's highways and byways by way of satellites and GPS devices, he says, and real-time traffic cameras. Government officials are now pushing to require that all new vehicles come installed with black box recorders and vehicle-to-vehicle or V2V communications, ostensibly, to help prevent crashes. Yet strip away the glib Orwellian doublespeak, and what you will find is that these black boxes and V2V transmitters, which will not only track a variety of data, including speed, direction, location, the number of miles traveled, and seatbelt use, but will also transmit this data to other drivers, including the police. These are little more than Trojan horses, stealth attacks on our last shreds of privacy, sold to us as safety measures for the sake of the greater good, all the while poised to wreak havoc on our lives. Black boxes and V2V transmitters are just the tip of the iceberg, though, he says, in the 2015 Corvette Stingray, it will be outfitted with a performance data recorder, which uses a camera mounted on the windshield and a global positioning receiver to record speed, gear selection, and brake force. Well, you just took all the fun out of those kind of cars, including mine, but mine's not a Corvette. But also, this will provide a recording of the driver's point of view, as well as recording noises made inside of the car. Well, not everything is a noise, but there's a whole lot of chatting and speaking going on in a car. So they're telling us that whatever we say in our car will be known by the powers that be. As a journalist, Jacqueline Trope reports for the New York Times, drivers can barely make a left turn, put on their seatbelts, or push 80 miles an hour without their actions somehow, somewhere being tracked or recorded. Indeed, as Jim Farley, vice president of marketing and sales for the Ford Motor Company, all but admitted, corporations and government officials already have a pretty good sense of where you are at all times. Quote, we know everyone who breaks the law, and we know where you're doing it and when you are doing it. We have GPS in your car, so we know what you're doing. Number two, a new Michigan law will ban thousands of preppers and small farmers from owning farm animals. What are they going to do next, says Mr. Snyder? Ban us from growing our own food? Number three, have you ever collected anything? If so, the FBI might swoop in and grab your collection someday, even if you have not committed a crime. If you think that this sounds crazy, you should consider what happened to a man named Don Miller recently. FBI agents Wednesday seized thousands of cultural artifacts, including American Indian items, from the private collection of a 91-year-old man who had acquired them over the past 8 decades. An FBI command vehicle and several tents were spotted at the property in rural Waldron, about 35 miles south of Indianapolis. The FBI did not have any evidence, listen up, my friends, that a crime had been committed prior to the seizing of the collection, and Mr. Miller had not been arrested or charged with any crime. The FBI says that it was going to catalog the collection to determine whether some of the items might be illegal to possess privately. The aim of the investigation is to determine what each artifact is, where it came from, and how Mr. Miller obtained it, Jones said, to determine whether some of the items might be illegal to possess privately. Number four, a father of a 4-year-old girl has been told that he will no longer be allowed to send healthy homemade lunches with his daughter when she attends her pre-kindergarten program because they conflict with the federal guidelines. Number five, do you watch television? Well, if you do, you have a newer television, there is a very good chance, says Mr. Snyder, that your television is watching you as well, which we've known for years now, my friends. In November, he says, the British tech blogger, this is good, I love this, Dr. Beat discovered that his new LG smart TV was snooping on him. Every time he changed the channel, his activity was logged and transmitted unencrypted to LG. Dr. Beat checked the TV's option screen and found that the setting collection of watching information was turned on by default. Being a techie, he turned it off, but it didn't matter. The information continued to flow to the company anyway. Now, that was some pretty interesting information right there, my friends. Number six, a plan that is being proposed in Fairfax County, Virginia, would ban frequent and large gatherings at neighborhood homes. Sound familiar, my friends? This would include parties, scout gatherings, and, of course, home Bible studies. Number seven, a public school in Florida at a public school in Florida, a 12-year-old boy had been banned from reading the Bible during free reading time. A Florida school teacher humiliated a 12-year-old boy in front of an entire class after she caught him reading the Bible during free reading time. The teacher at Park Lakes Elementary School in Fort Lauderdale ordered Giovanni Rubio to pick up the telephone on her desk, on his desk, and call his parents as the other students watched. The teacher left a very pointed message on the family's answering machine. Quote, I noticed that he had a book, a religious book, in the classroom. She said on the recording, he's not permitted to read those books in my classroom. Number 8. In the USSA, a young child cannot even build a treehouse or a fort with his friends without the threat of being confronted by a police state. Just consider what happened to one little fifth grader boy down in Georgia a few weeks ago. A fifth grader says he was terrified when a police officer pointed a gun at him and his friends while they were building a tree fort. Omar Grant, 11, said he and his friends often play in the wooded area behind his home and were building a fort when a neighbor in the next subdivision called police to complain about what the boys were doing, but no one anticipated what Omar and his mother say happened next. I guess the release of tension was like, Mom, he had a gun in my face. Mommy, he had a gun in my face, said Janice Baptiste, Omar's mother. The officer reportedly used very filthy language as he pointed his gun at the boys and he forced them to get out of the tree and lay on the ground. I was thinking that I don't want to be shot today, so I just listened to what they said, Omar said. Omar said the officer holding his gun also used foul language and made him and his friends lay down on the ground. I learned that they were supposed to help you, not make you feel scared to even come outside, Omar said. Number 9. People like to joke about the eye in the sky, says Mr. Snyder, but it's no joke. Technology that was originally developed for blanket surveillance during the Iraq War is now returning home. Persistent surveillance systems has developed a surveillance camera on steroids. When attached to some small aircraft, the 192 megapixel cameras record the patterns of the planetary life they fly over for hours at a time. According to the Washington Post, this will give the police and other customers a time machine. They can simply rewind when they need it. Placed strategically at the highest points of any town or city, these cameras could provide the sort of blanket surveillance that's hard to avoid. The inventor of the camera, a retired Air Force officer, helped create a similar system for the city of Fallujah, the site of two of the most violent battles of the U.S. occupation of Iraq. It's just one example, says Mr. Snyder, of how wartime surveillance technologies are returning home for civilian use. Number 10, have you ever purchased storable food? If so, you should know that it is now considered to be suspicious activity in some areas of the country. Just check out what's happening in New York State. 1-866-SAFE-NYS is part of Safeguard New York, a New York State counterterrorism program that's used to promote material to encourage citizens to report people for engaging in suspicious activity, which makes them stand out from others. An accompanying letter provided by the state trooper listed such suspicious activities as the purchase of MREs, or meals ready to eat, flashlights, weatherproof ammunition, night vision equipment, match containers, or gas masks. Mr. Snyder then interjects, "For even more examples like this, please see my previous article entitled 19 Signs That America Is Being Systematically Transformed into a Giant Surveillance Grid, dated, my friends, September." This article is dated September of 2012, even further back than the article I just shared with you. He then ends this piece by stating, in part, "My friends, sadly, most Americans are totally oblivious to all of this. Most Americans are so addicted to entertainment and their electronic devices that they have no idea what is going on in the real world." With that said, my friends, today we have taken a break from some of the more glaring news of the day to just take a short look behind the scenes at what our world is coming to, or has come to. But, my friends, the real reason that I have been sent here today is to tell you that we all need to be ready, watching, waiting, and praying for the next major event on the one and only true and living God's prophetic timeline, which is the unexpected, to the world at large, return of his one and only begotten Son, who is Jesus Christ, and is the same who is called the bridegroom, that is soon and very soon to come and whisk away his waiting bride, which consists of all those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ at his appearing in the rapture, or in other words, at the catching away of the saints, of which the Bible, my friends, has much to say about. Take, for instance, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, where Paul, the Apostle Paul, states, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Continuing on, my friends, into 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, concerning the timing of the rapture, Paul further states, "But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that are right unto you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Who is the hope of salvation? Jesus Christ. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify or teach one another, even as also ye do, says the Apostle Paul and the Word of God. And let us not forget about Matthew chapter 24, verses 34 through 42, where Jesus himself states, "Verily, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass until all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the man, the Son of Man, be," Jesus said. "Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken, the other left. Watch, therefore," Jesus said, "for ye know not what hour your Lord doeth come." Moving on into Revelation chapter 3, verses 20 through 22, Jesus speaking once again gives this invitation to all who will call upon his name in repentance when he states, "Behold, I stand at the door," that door is your heart, my friends, "and knock. If any man hear my voice," Jesus said, "and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I," Jesus said, "grant to sit with me in my throne," which translates to the word power, my friends. "To him that overcometh will I," Jesus said, "grant to sit with me in my throne," or power, "even as I also overcame," Jesus said, "and am set down with my Father in his throne," or power, my friends. Jesus said, "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13, Paul lays out God's one and only plan of salvation. Did you hear what I just said? God gives, by the power and authority of the Holy Spirit, to Paul the plan of God's one and only plan of salvation, which is to be laid out in the Word of God for all men, for all times, to be able to see, read, and partake of, so that you don't end up in the lake of fire for all eternity. In Romans chapter 10, there again, verses 9 through 13, Paul lays out God's one and only plan of salvation, which only comes by way of a personal relationship with his one and only begotten Son, who there again is none other than Jesus Christ. When Paul states, by way of the prompting of God's Holy Spirit, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, I like to say right living in Jesus Christ. And the Word of God goes on to say, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, which is your way of escape through the work that the Lord Jesus Christ did upon the cross of Calvary. When you call upon him, asking him to forgive you of your sins and to receive you into the eternal family of God, my friends. Number 11, Romans chapter 10, verse 11 says, "For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him," who is he? He's Jesus Christ, "shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, where have we heard that said before? Oh, yes, it is said in John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, where Jesus, speaking yet again, states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him," who is he? He's Jesus Christ, "might be saved." It says might be saved because it is purely your free will to choose to be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ or to join Satan in the lake of fire for all eternity. Verse 18 says, "He that believeth on him," who is he? Jesus Christ. The word of God says, "is not condemned." But the word of God continues by saying, "But he that believeth not in him," who is he? Jesus Christ, "is already condemned." Why? Well, the word of God says, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten. Those are very important words, my friends, right there. Only begotten Son of God. You will hear a lot of people today say God's only Son. Well, that's not a correct terminology. Jesus isn't God's only Son. We are sons and daughters of God through the work that Jesus Christ did upon the cross when we are received by repentance into the family of God. But Jesus Christ is indeed the only begotten of the Father in heaven. It says that he is the only begotten Son of God. My friends, let us not forget the words of Jesus found in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, "for such a time as this," where Jesus says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." Jesus said, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. My friends, nor let us forget the resounding words of the Lord Jesus Christ found in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 29, where he begins by reminding all that not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I, Jesus said, profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, Jesus said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock, which is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, my friends. He is the rock. Jesus continues by saying, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, Jesus said, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority. That authority comes from the power of God's Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit, my friends. And the word says, and not as the scribes. My friends, you know, I was thinking about these scriptures because it was just the other day that I was really saddened to hear that Steve Harvey, you know, of Family Feud fame, came out and said, well, you know, there's many ways to heaven. That just showed us right there in one line, he is not a true born-again, blood-bought, spirit-taught Christian. Because anyone who knows the Word of God knows that Jesus Christ is the only Savior of all mankind that ever breathed upon this earth. And it is their choice whether or not they receive the salvation that he came and poured out his blood for. Steve Harvey said that, you know, there are many ways to heaven. Now he says we have, you know, like I'm probably just paraphrasing it. He says we have like 800 channels and, you know, there's entertainment on all of them. And I'm sure that people are finding their way to heaven through many ways. That just told us that he's a man in need of a savior and to be filled with the indwelling power, working and anointing with the evidence of speaking with other tongues of God's Holy Spirit, because he does not know the word of God. He does not know what it means to be a Christian. And guess what? I'm not just pointing him out. There are many people that walk on the face of this earth that believe exactly the same thing and will still believe it when they're in the lake of fire. Because they chose death over eternal life. They chose to partake of the lake of fire with Satan and not learn the word of God and miss out on the eternal life that the Lord Jesus Christ poured out his blood upon the cross of Calvary for every man who would so choose him as their only Savior. And we have escaped from the wrath of God that is yet to come. My friends, today, as I always tell you, is the day of salvation. As you hear this word today, you have one more chance to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have not already, as your personal one and only Savior, your ticket to eternal life, because he already paid the price for you. He already paid for your ticket, my friends, through the precious and holy shed blood that he shed upon the cross of Calvary. Through his death, burial, and resurrection. When he was resurrected by God, we were on his mind, as many as were called far off. And it was made to us possible to receive eternal life by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as our only way of escape, our Lord, Master, Savior, soon coming King, and Messiah. My friends, today is the day of salvation, says the word of God. And so therefore, if you have not received the Lord Jesus Christ as your only Savior and way to eternal life, then I would like to ask you if you would pray this prayer from your heart, not your head, of repentance unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Not to any man, not to me. It's not about a word puzzle. It's about just speaking words that say, Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And I know that you went to the cross of Calvary and were nailed to that cross, shed your precious and holy blood unto death, and were raised from the dead after 3 days by your Father, who is God, so that I may have eternal life, because you took the keys to death and hell, and that therefore makes you the proprietor of the keys to eternal life. My friends, today, if you will ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, begin to know God's word, know it well, and know it correctly for yourself. Begin in the book of John so that you may know who Jesus was, is, and who he is to us, and who he is in the time yet to come. My friends, today, receive the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is coming to a point that people who are walking in the world and are not saved realize that there is some big event on the way. And in their hearts, because they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, they really don't have any idea what it is. But the Holy Spirit is pricking their heart to find out what it is, so that in the end, they are not left behind, but they are going to walk the streets of gold with you and I and the Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity. Otherwise, they're going to be left behind, take the mark of the beast, which the Bible tells us dooms our soul for eternity, and find themselves with Satan, his evil angels, demons, all upon the face of this, whoever walked upon the face of this earth who rejected the love and gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to find themselves walking with all of those and Satan in the lake of fire for all eternity. My friends, time is short. It's 11:59 in split seconds, as the Lord once told my mother, and that's why I continuously use that phrase. It was a prophetic word from the Lord God to my mother, who was a minister for 65 plus years of her life and worked beautifully in the prophetic word that the Lord used her in while she walked on this earth. It is 11:59 in split seconds till the return of the only Savior of the world, where the Lord also told her, and not one second is going to be lost that belongs to my Son in his kingdom that is yet to come. So, my friends, it is time today to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, to seek God for the end. Power, working, and anointing of his Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues after you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And continuously, we are to know God's word, know it well, and know it correctly for ourselves, so that we see that no man deceives us here at 11:59 and split seconds, just before the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ to steal our crown. My friends, today let's pray this prayer together. If you so feel the pricking of the Lord God's Holy Spirit in your life today, it's between you and the Lord, not between you and me. So let us pray. Father God, my friends, pray this prayer out loud to the Lord, for he is a God who knows. He is the only God who knows the end from the beginning. He knows your heart. He knows where you're at, and he's ready to bring you out of the darkness and out of your night into the brilliant day and light of the Lord Jesus Christ, his one and only begotten Son. Let us pray together. Dear Lord God, I humbly come before your throne and bow down spiritually speaking. Lord God, I thank you for the gift of your one and only begotten Son, who came to this earth to be my example as to how to live and to receive eternal life if I will live in the way that the word that you have set down in the Old and New Testament is walked out. We do live in the New Testament, my friends. Through the blood of Jesus is what we are to walk out in our life, and it's located in the New Testament. The Old Testament is the types and shadows of that which was to come. Lord Jesus, Lord God, I thank you for the gift of your one and only begotten Son, who is none other than Jesus Christ. I thank you for this perfect and wonderful gift that can bring me eternal life to be with you for all eternity. Thank you so much. Lord Jesus, I humbly come before your throne and bow down to say, Lord Jesus, from the bottom of my heart and a broken and contrite spirit and heart, that I know that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And Lord Jesus, I ask right now that you would forgive me of my sins and that you would receive me into the eternal family of God. Right now, Lord Jesus, I thank you and I confess to you that I want to turn from my old ways and to be the new man that you have designated me to be in your word. And Lord Jesus, I know that you are faithful and true to do that which you've promised. And I know that now I have become your child. And I thank you from the depths of my heart. And Holy Spirit, I ask you to walk with me and guide me and lead me into all truth and righteousness. Show me the things I need to see in the Word of God. Bring all things to my remembrance and let me be looking up, ready, watching, and waiting for the next thing, the next major event on your timeline, dear Lord God, which is the rapture of your bride, your Son's bride, who is Jesus Christ. Jesus, I'll be looking for you in the eastern sky. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen and amen. And with that said, my friends, it is a wrap. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee his shalom or peace. Shalom and blessings until we meet again.
I believe that we are living in the days John wrote about. The end times are upon us, and of that there is no doubt. Get your mind out of the world, take your Bible off the shelf, read the book of Revelations for yourself.
Join Streams in the Desert Live each Wednesday at 4 p.m. on Star Worldwide Networks, where your host, Pastor Dana, will examine the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy. Streams in the Desert Live thanks you for listening, for your phone calls, emails, and as always, your generous love offerings in support of this internet radio broadcast. You may also visit or email Streams in the Desert Ministries, home of Streams in the Desert Live, by way of the website or Facebook page, which can be easily found on the StarWorldWideNetworks.com Streams in the Desert landing page. Until next week, Streams in the Desert Live bids you all much love in Jesus, and that the peace of the Lord Jesus be unto you all now and always. And remember, if you're not serving Jesus now, what makes you think you'll be doing it later in heaven?